Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, I'm Joe, and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. Today's show is all about how to improve your application lifecycle management efforts as we test talk with Matt Anger, a senior solution architect for Results Positive. In this episode, Matt shares with us a methodology called RPALM that will help you improve your ALM efforts. So if you're struggling with managing and creating traceability between your requirements, tests, and defects, or if your results lack visibility to your teams, this episode is for you. But before we get into the show, I just want to announce really quickly that I have a crazy idea for an online conference 100% dedicated to test automation called the Automation Guild Conference. So I'm planning for January 2017 to have 20 to 25 test automation experts share real-world examples as they share their screens, pre-recorded videos of different sessions on test automation. If that sounds like something you're interested in, just head on over to automationguild.com and just put in your email and let me know that that's something that you're interested in. Depending on the amount of responses, I will definitely make it happen. Cool. So let's get to today's episode with Matt. Check it out. Test Talks is sponsored by the fantastic folks at Sauce Labs, the cloud-based automated testing platform that eliminates the need to maintain your own Selenium grid and test infrastructure. Try it for free today. Visit testtalks.com and click on the Sign Up Now link under the homepage sponsor section. Hey, Matt. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for inviting me today. I appreciate it.
Awesome. It's great to have you on the show. But before we get into it, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Matt Anger, and I'm a senior solution architect for Results Positive. I've been with the firm for about a year and a half now. Prior to joining Results Positive, I was in the space of independent SAP consulting. I've been involved in a number of different commercial and public sector implementations of SAP, predominantly in quality assurance and project management roles. With Results Positive, my focus is on the application delivery management suite of products, as you know, including Quality Center, ALM, UFT, Performance Center, Load Runner, and the additional SaaS products that have been introduced in the marketplace recently.
Awesome. So today I want to focus on one of the main things I want to focus on is your RPALM assessment methodology. I guess at a high level, what is RPALM?
Sure. So RPALM was introduced primarily due to customer demand. Several years ago, Results Positive actually pioneered an assessment methodology for their PPM practice. And from there, RPALM was born. So essentially, we took a lot of the same tenets of their assessment methodology and more or less tailored it strategically to helping clients, in the sense of an independent assessment to provide them with tactical and strategic key improvement recommendations to go from their current state to a desired end state. So what we've done is actually created 21 different topical areas across three main categories that we analyze to help clients understand how to best position their people, their processes, and their technology to support, improved velocity or improved quality. It's whatever the objective of an end client is how we sort of tailor this assessment methodology for them.
Awesome. So can you just give us an example? Say a company contacts you and they're having issues. Like what companies or what issues do you think would most benefit from this RPALM assessment?
Sure. So we've had companies that have gotten in touch with us and several companies, one that comes to mind recently is an organization who lacked requirements traceability within HP application lifecycle management. And the fact that they lacked end-to-end traceability really put them in a handicapped position when it came to understanding specifically change that is occurring as a result of enhancement requests or change requests that are rolling through their pipeline. So with that, the lack of traceability actually in effect handicapped them because they weren't really sure where specifically to hone their regression testing efforts. And even more than that, they weren't really sure what regression test cases to update as a result of this lack of traceability. So one of the things that we would do is, you know, the recommendation would be have us do a quick RPALM assessment, which also includes a requirements tracing workshop where one of our senior engineers or solution architects would facilitate the workshop with all the key stakeholders and help them sort of fit the pieces of the puzzle together in terms of, you know, the requirements, all the different requirements types ranging from business to functional to performance requirements and tying those to the specific regression test cases and ensuring that they had a process in place as they used the tool, a process in place as they were using the tool to ensure that they could effectively perform change impact analysis.
Awesome. So I know some companies I've worked for struggle with ALM specifically with HP's Quality Center ALM. And one of the things they struggle with is sometimes they have a process around it that's really heavy and no one really understands it. Do you have any suggestions on how someone can help create a process for their ALM Quality Center solutions, but that it's easy to follow? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And, you know, at Results Positive, what we try to advise clients on is to crawl, walk, run. You know, that's really the premise. And I know that's I'm oversimplifying it here in terms of how we do it. But the first and foremost is within ALM, you have to understand that there needs to be an effective awareness program in place across a quality assurance organization. And, you know, that spans beyond the QA team, really. So there needs to be an internal champion that helps clients and stakeholders understand how the product works. Okay. So as you know, ALM is split across or broken up into different modules. One of the modules that, you know, I'm speaking more heavily about today is the requirements management module. So a lot of business analysts and project managers, program managers might peek into, you know, the requirements management module to take a look at what's being managed for a given release or a given cycle for that matter. So one suggestion that we have for clients is this. As you start using ALM, we always suggest that instead of going directly to designing test cases within ALM or directly to just logging defects right away, start at your requirements level and understand best practices around using ALM to manage your requirements. And if you can start there and you can master the definition of your requirements intake process with using a tool like ALM, then move on to the next step and then move on to the next step. And essentially what this is the, you know, the crawl, walk, run scenario that I just discussed before. And then once you work your way down through where you're using all the different features and functionality of the tool, then let's think about your metrics and reporting strategy of how all of that you can tie everything together within the tool and effectively provide your leadership team with intelligent information to make key decisions.
Awesome. I guess one of the key areas that you focus on with your RPLM is people. And this sounds like this is actually one of the biggest things I struggle with. So any suggestions how to get everyone on board that this is not just a tool for requirements, but it's a tool that helps everyone. It's not just a tool for your testers. It should be a resource that everyone can go to, I would think, and get something out of it at all different levels of where they are within the software development lifecycle.
You know, that's a very good question. And I worked for a multinational manufacturing company in the past. And, you know, one of the things was getting everybody on board, the people aspect, the soft skills required to convince stakeholders that, you know, ALM is not just quote unquote a bug tracking tool, or it's not just a tool to execute manual test cases from. It's a lot more than that. I think one of the key things, and I know everyone, this sounds very cliche, but is leading with education. And what I mean by that is helping clients, helping organizational stakeholders, as an example, your release managers or your project managers, understanding key features of ALM, such as the performance, the PPT functionality, you know, project planning and tracking, understanding how that they can modify PPT to create a scorecard that can be used at their stage gate processes, and how they can define KPIs through project customization within ALM. Those are key things that you want to educate your stakeholders on. But above and beyond that, it's really important. Now, this is my opinion. You have to have an internal champion, an internal QA champion, not somebody who is just going, not somebody that's an order taker that is managing the testing process, but somebody that's truly going to inspire throughout the organization and build buzz and excitement around using a new product. So, you know, you look at large scale ERP implementations like such as SAP or Oracle, they have a devoted change management team. Now, I'm not saying that you need a devoted change management team when you decide to move in a direction of HP ALM, but you do need to identify some charismatic and driven people internally to help champion it and explain the business value in more and less of a way that's just so, because we're always getting bombarded with different marketing messages and this, that, and the other. You need someone that understands the value of having everything under one common platform and the value of having the pieces tied together within a tool like ALM.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, I definitely agree. A lot of times people are like, this is overkill for me. Why do I need to do this? But if you have someone that's like a champion, someone that actually can coach the teams and say, hey, this is why, here's some output, here's how you benefit from it, here's what's in it for you, I think that is a big win. I think that's a great point.
It is too. I mean, and to your point before, it's like you said, it's putting yourself in their shoes and practicing empathy. What is in it for them to begin using this tool? And really, a lot of that sort of boils down to understanding the features and functionality of the tool, and having a strong solution architect on your team, or perhaps partnering with somebody like a firm like Results Positive, who has team members who understand the tool inside and out, but also having somebody that understands the voice of the stakeholders within an organization. That's why I think it's so important. If you're a QA manager or a test director listening to this podcast, it's so important to think of somebody in your organization who really has the pulse of the voice of your stakeholders, who understands what drives everybody, because everybody's fire is lit some way differently across the boardroom table. And it's somebody that within the organization who's been there a little bit longer than others, who understands what motivates different departments, is somebody that you need in that champion position.
Absolutely. Great point. I guess another thing I see a lot of is someone uses Quality Center or ALM, and they just use one piece of it, like just the defect section, but they might have all the other modules. How would you encourage people to use other aspects of it? Do you think that's more of an education point where maybe they just were told, here's the tool you're going to use, but weren't educated, and that's why it's so important to have some evangelists out there really promoting the product and the tools and process?
So I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of maybe lack of training, but also is reflective of the maturity level across the different, if you kind of clump them as categories across the systems development lifecycle. And of course, this would be a whole nother conversation if we talked about waterfall versus agile and other tools that HPE has, you know, but we're speaking about ALM here. So if we think about the tool aspect of it, and to your question, why are certain people or certain organizations so focused on maybe just using the defect management module? So let's address it real quick. So from an evolutionary perspective, right, HP ALM was spawned from Mercury Test Director. And as we know, the primary flagship functionality was really the defects module and the workflow and the script editor there that was built into it. So it got its start really around that feature and functionality, with some other things built in there too, of course. I'm not just saying that was the only thing. And then the product evolved significantly over the course of time. But what we're seeing with certain clients is, you know, even if we do provide a rapid start and give their team thorough education of, you know, the nuts and bolts of every module within ALM, if their processes are not mature enough to keep up with the technology, it doesn't matter anyhow. They're just going to use what they need to use, and that's the extent of it. So that's why it's important to look at your organization from an independent perspective. And it's hard to do that when you're in the weeds, right? It's hard to do that when you're part of the delivery team and you're stuck in the day-to-day battle, so to speak. You're in the trenches. That's why organizations come to firms like Results Positive and say, hey, tell me about your RPA ALM approach. Let's bring in an independent, fresh set of eyes to help us understand how we can get from point A to B across those different continuums. So if you're, you know, from a people perspective, a process perspective, and technology, how do we improve our process to keep up with the technology? Or how do we improve our technology to keep up with our processes? I mean, sometimes it's like that. And then also the training components too, of making sure you have those power users identified. Right, the people and your folks that are actually building the requirements, as an example, designing the requirements for a system under test, understand that, you know, they don't have to store their functional designs that are in Word documents in Microsoft SharePoint. You know, they can use the rich text editor, rich text feature of a requirement type within ALM, and then effectively trace that upstream to a business requirement, and then you can speak to them about the positive implications of doing that. You know, and they're not going to see those positive implications right away, but by showing them and painting the picture of, hey, this is how it's going to help you down the road. When you're approaching a regression testing cycle for a major service pack, now you have the ability to perform change impact analysis where you need to perform it. It's going to save you a lot of time, effort, and headaches, essentially.
No, great point. And I think a lot of times people forget about the big picture because they're so caught in the weeds right up front. They just need to deliver something, say, within a two-week sprint. So really having that big picture, what are we trying to accomplish first before actually implementing it at a low level probably would be a big tip or a big help.
Absolutely. And it's human nature, really. We can't fault anybody for doing that. I mean, if you're in the middle of a firefight, as an example, you're thinking of how to survive, right? You're not really thinking about, you know, strategically, what kind of political fallout is this firefight going to have on the overall, you know, the overall objective of the mission. You're thinking about how to survive. And we understand that. But the fact of the matter is, the, you know, with RPA ALM, you know, we have a slide deck out there on SlideShare as well about it. It's really an umbrella mentality. And other organizations are attempting to do what we're doing. But, you know, of course, I'm biased because, you know, we created this proprietary methodology. But it's really an umbrella methodology that helps organizations sort of see the forest through the trees. And that's really, it's hard to do unless you get an independent, independent outside objective opinion.
And people are probably maybe me snickering, oh, this guy's a consultant. Of course, he's going to say that. But I swear to God, I work for a large company, and I will say something over and over again. No one will pay attention to me. They will pay a consultant outside the company to come in and say the same exact thing. And all of a sudden, it's brilliant. That's what we're going to do. So I don't know. Maybe it's like you said, it's human nature, but it drives me crazy.
You're speaking to the choir. I've seen that so many different times, and I've even heard the frustrations internally from folks where I'll deliver the same message as somebody that internally delivered it, and they'll pull me aside and say, you know what, I've been telling them this for 5 years, and you came in here and said the same thing as me, and all of a sudden you have the golden nugget, or, you know, like you came with you know, with the grail of information that we can take forward. And I just kind of laugh, and I said, you know, it's psychology and it's human nature that they're thinking, if we're paying for this advice from somebody, it must be really valuable advice. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I say to other people, anybody listening to this podcast, listen to your internal stakeholders, listen to the people that work for you. And if you can figure out a way to objectively do it, I mean, even if you take somebody from a different department and maybe you want to include them in the assessment as opposed to bringing in an outside firm, I mean, you know, that might be an alternative to do something like that. But really listen to your internal folks, because they are the most important and the bloodline of your organization. And if you ignore them long enough, they're no longer going to be with your organization.
All right, Matt. So I guess I'd like to go a little bit more over the RPLM assessment methodology, just at a high level. I believe it's broken up into four, you have in four categories, I believe: prepare, discover, assess, and deliver. Can we just go over each one really quick to just say, you know, what this process is like, what the methodology is like? So what does prepare mean? What do you do at the prepare stage when someone's trying to implement your RPLM assessment methodology?
Sure. So there's a number of different factors that we look at. So the preparation phase, typically our RPALM assessments last between 2 to 3 weeks. So what we do first and foremost is we sit down with key stakeholders and confirm the goals and objectives of the assessment, and we define critical success factors. So what it means to come out of this assessment as successful. And then during the preparation phase, we collect and review as-is documentation, and we do we confirm the participants' roles and responsibilities, what everybody on the team does. You know how sometimes you have a release manager and a test manager sort of doing the same thing? Or you have, you know, one guy over here, one gal over there who's like kind of serving as both a release and test manager. We sort of want to understand how the organization is set up. So we do some discussions and we clarify expectations. And then what we do is we review our 21 factors, our 21 key factors that tie into this RPALM assessment. And we show the client specifically what we're going to be looking at across the board. And then we want to confirm buy-in as well during this preparation phase. Now, buy-in that we're going to have the necessary stakeholders ready and willing to participate, because that's extremely important. I mean, you could send somebody to counseling or send them to speak to somebody or coach about something as an example. But if they're not ready and willing to receive the message, it's not going to matter. So we want to confirm buy-in, and we want to get people excited and engaged in this process, because it's truly transformational. And that's how we look at our RPALM assessment methodology. It's a transformational mission to get you from point A to B. And then after we finish up the preparation phase, we actually go ahead and schedule the workshops and the interviews, and then we dovetail into our discover phase. And discover is about conducting those one-on-one interviews or group interviews with your key stakeholders, doing a deep dive review of your project artifacts. So we have a team of solution architects that are HP Expert One certified with an average of 15 years of industry experience that deep dive into all your documentation and take a good hard look at things. And then we conduct the workshops. So we do a visionary end state workshop with your stakeholders. We do the requirements tracing workshop that I mentioned before. We conduct best practice sessions with your team across the tools, people, and process. And then after that, we review your current processes, your governance model, and reporting. And then when that's done, we move into the assess phase. And the assess phase is really about sort of bringing it all together and saying, okay, we've looked at everything. We have, you know, we have all of this information collected. We've taken away key points from it. Now let's take this and really put it together into an assessment that identifies your most critical opportunities and solution recommendations to improve upon, you know, either velocity of delivering software or improve upon quality. How do we trap defects further upstream? Are there tools that we can use further upstream to trap defects, like LeanFT as an example from a development perspective? Are we doing an effective job further upstream of preventing defects from slipping through the testing layers and not getting caught in our regression testing cycle, and our businesses identifying them? And how much money are we losing as a result? You know, things like that. And then finally, we deliver. And what we mean by deliver is we have a presentation with key executive stakeholders, and we also we bow tie the assessment into a clear picture of where a company is at, so that your CIO can take a look at that assessment and understand this is from an objective party, this is from results positive, and it clearly shows us a roadmap of how to get from point A to point B.
Awesome. And I'll have a link to this slide within the show notes. But what I really like about one of the slides within your slide deck here about RPLM, the engagement approach, is that Someone could reverse engineer it and use it for something else, because you do lay it out really nicely at a high level what each stage is. So I think it's really helpful at that point also. But on top of that, it doesn't seem like it's specific to HP products. So can this be applied? Do you work with other things other than HP products?
We do. Predominantly, you know, we've gotten our start working as a platinum partner to HP. So we've had a lot of success in that area, and you know, we're true to our roots. So you know, we have a lot of customers that reach out to us because of HP products. So that's one. However, you know, we do use this assessment methodology for other organizations that may not be using ALM. Perhaps they're using Zephyr, or perhaps they're using QA Symphony, or other products out there in the marketplace, and they're looking for truly experts to come in who have been there, done that, and provide that objective viewpoint, as you mentioned before. You know, sometimes people are so frustrated because they're speaking the message internally and they know they're spot on, but you bring someone else in and they provide that objective opinion about things, and they can clearly see the forest through the trees from the outside looking in. All of a sudden, that is the message that the decision makers decide to move ahead with. But to your point, it's not all about HPE products. For this assessment methodology, it's vendor agnostic, and we're starting to provide clients with coaching and this assessment service methodology outside of the HPE realm of Quality Center and ALM.
Awesome. Also, what I think of what's good is having an outside company or a consultant come in is validation. So you have a plan and you think your plan is right, but you're so caught up in the politics of the company. Just having that third party come in and look at it and say, yeah, this is right, or you know what, this is wrong because maybe you didn't think of this other thing. I've talked to these other parties involved that you didn't, and here's why this isn't going to work. So it saves you a lot of time in other ways. Even if you have a plan that you think is going to work, just getting that third party input, I think, helps also.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's the same thing, you know, internally. You know, I'm a huge proponent of feedback loops, right? I'm also a certified Scrum Master, and you know, we help a lot of clients with the use of Agile Manager and also Next Gen ALM, Octane. And you know, as a key component of going agile is to get feedback quickly and often from your end users. And the same thing applies with this type of approach.
Awesome. So for companies that have or are starting to make the transformation from waterfall to agile, I think a lot of them have the notion that, no, we can't use a vendor product because we're agile, right? So we're going to use some open source solution that's available. So, you know, when would someone use ALM or a Quality Center as opposed to, say, Agile Manager or the newest version, I believe you called it ALM Octane, or another tool? Like when, at what point or when would it... When do you think these tools make sense, and what process do you think they make most sense in, especially if someone's going towards agile from waterfall?
Well, that's a great question, Joe. In fact, last week I was actually at HPE Discover in Las Vegas, and there were several breakout sessions that I attended with regards to both agile transformation from a people perspective and also the tools itself. You know, you speak about Octane or Next Gen ALM. So let's address one thing here, and that's around agile transformation and what we see with clients and how they're moving ahead. You made a point that, you know, a lot of pure agileists, they're more interested in open source, you know, software. They don't think going with a particular vendor, maybe that's not, you know, that's not sexy, or they think it's not the way to go. Why would I do that when all these products are free? And I, you know, I'm a pure agileist, and I believe in, you know, I believe in collaboration and people over documentation and process, right? We understand that. However, what I do want to say is this: we have helped many clients realize the sort of the transition over into more of an agile or even a hybrid agile. Because if you think about it, a lot of organizations, they're set in their ways and they've been doing waterfall for many of years. And they have what, and I'm not sure if you've heard of this, you probably have. It's from Gartner. It's the bimodal IT. So you have your core IT and you have your fluid IT. So there's two different modes, and your core IT is really centered upon your steady eddy ERP systems, you know, SAP, Oracle, your HR system, maybe your demand planning system, things that are like structured. There's a lot of rigor around it. There's a lot of process. It's usually PMO heavy, right? And then you have fluid IT, And Fluid IT is really those new and innovative products that your team is working diligently on pushing out there. They're typically web-based applications or mobile applications. And that's where you're leaning more towards an agile delivery methodology, whereas the core IT is predominantly waterfall. Now, to answer your question, now that I got all that stuff out of the way, it's twofold, really, if you think about it, because there's a product in the market, and I'm sure others have heard about it, known as Octane. So it's next-gen ALM, and it's a product from Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And basically, it's an evolutionary step from ALM, which is centric in my mind, and this is my opinion. It's around core IT, if you think of the bimodal IT. Next-gen ALM focuses a little bit more on Fluid IT, but it can still be used to carry out your waterfall projects as well. Now, here's the thing. We know a lot of organizations are using open source products. I mean, you think about Jenkins as an example for continuous integration. Well, what's great about Octane is they've built it to integrate nicely with Jenkins. So you can leverage the current tools that your developers are using today and that your development lead has embraced. And then you can take advantage of the experience and the know-how of HPE and leverage another tool, Octane, which, by the way, you can sign up for a free trial at sas.hpe.com. And you can integrate that with ALM. So if you have an existing investment in Quality Center or ALM today and your team is heavily entrenched in that and you're saying, well, I don't want to mess with this. You know, I have an agile team, but I have waterfall processes over here. I've seen it before. I saw it at a firm called Nationwide Financial. I did some consulting there. A lot of their teams are based around waterfall, but then they had other teams around the peripheral that were leaning towards agile or practicing agile, and they weren't using tools for it. They were, you know, literally they were co-located with sticky notes on the board. Okay. And that's how they move things along. Whereas with tools like Octane and Agile Manager, you get the virtual planning board. You get all that information set up because we, as practitioners, realize that, you know, it's not pragmatic to co-locate everybody from around the world into one room. I mean, you have to learn how to deliver agile outside of a room. And that's where tools like Octane and next-gen ALM come into play.
Oh, I love that quote, but it's going to get me on a tangent if I repeat it. I'll probably cut this up, but oh my gosh, that's so true about you have to scale out outside of a room agile. It's just some companies, they think agile is we'll get everyone in one room like sheep, and there we go, we're agile, and that's it. So this sounds awesome, Octane. Besides that, at HP Discover, you know, if someone is, you know, trying to plan the next year or so, where do you think they should focus their efforts after seeing the roadmap that HP laid out?
Sure. So there's two different areas, I think. Number one is, you know, you've heard that song by Beyonce Knowles about to the left, to the left. I think it's important that organizations focus on shifting left, you know, but at the same time, I think there's also, and I'll speak about this in a second, there's also some value in terms of shifting right. But let me first talk about shifting left. And what do we mean by shifting left? Well, if you think of your delivery lifecycle and what you're doing today, all the way from the requirements intake process to the release of a build in your production environment. A lot of the times you see companies putting an enormous amount of pressure on their test automation team or their testing center of excellence to trap defects. And developers are kind of washing their hands of any responsibility as it comes to the quality of their code. And this mindset really needs to change. And this is a key takeaway from HPE Discover. And it's a message that many of the thought leaders are communicating at the highest levels, is within any organization, quality is everybody's responsibility. I think, you know, I certainly did not, you know, dub that slogan. I think that came from Deming, if you want to think of quality management from years ago. But quality is truly everybody's responsibility, starting from the development side. And, you know, not to plug another tool from HP, but we're talking primarily about HP tools, but LeanFT being used by your development team further upstream to the left will help prevent future ramifications down the line to the right. Because if you think about it, if you're moving from left to right is production, and you're moving all the way to production. And when you produce a build and that goes into production and your business users or your customers are using it, and there's a critical defect that has slipped through, that has passed through these different layers, there's going to be, of course, a very large financial impact to your company, depending on the type of defect that was slipped through. But when you embrace the concept of quality is everybody's responsibility, let's put more onus on the development team to produce higher quality code. And let's have them use tools like LeanFT, which integrate with their IDEs, to do some automated testing over what they're producing before they quote unquote throw it over the fence to the quality assurance team and say, hey, have at it. I think we can get cleaner and cleaner code as you move through the different environments and you move forward, which ultimately, as we know, reduces the total cost of ownership for a piece of software. And it really does keep everybody happy because morale is a lot higher, right? And you don't have as many last minute issues when you're going through these large software projects. You're not running into so many problems and so many headaches along the way because people are more diligent further to the left. Now, if you think about further to the right, there were some discussions around that, and at HPE Discover, what it means to kind of shift to the right as well. It's a new term, and a few of the product managers brought it up at HP as well, that not only is there emphasis on shifting to the left, but there's also emphasis on tools that protect the right as well. And what I mean by that is this. If you think of DevOps, okay, you think of DevOps in terms of how do we move faster? It's all about speed, fast, 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 fast. But how do we maintain a consistent level of quality or improve quality while moving faster? And as you know, that's a really difficult feat to pull off, right? But one of the things about thinking about the right is, okay, so what about our incident management tools? What about using Service Anywhere or ServiceNow for that matter for our business end users to log incidents? And how do we calculate KPIs based on how many incidents were released, say, within 30 days after a build hit production versus, you know, all the testing that we did during that regression testing cycle? And if you think of the DevOps picture, being able to tie these pieces together and accurately run metrics on this gives you the true picture from an end-to-end perspective of tying your development team to your operations team. And then one other key component I just want to mention quickly that I pulled out of Discover is a new product called ChatOps. If you think of collaboration at its core, that in my mind sits right next to ChatOps. And ChatOps allows your team to actually communicate across functional barriers in like Twitter style communication and basically use like reference bots that are built out to actually carry out functions within your HP suite of products. It's pretty cool. And I think honestly, it's going to take off. It's going to take a little while to educate folks on the use of this new product, but I think it's going to be a prevalent force.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Do you know if it works with other things other than HP products?
It does.
Really?
It does.
Nice. Yep. So Matt, I definitely agree with you. Shift Right is first time I heard it was early last year by Jeff Sussner, who wrote the book Designing Delivery, Rethinking IT in the Digital Service Economy. And I totally agree with you. A lot of people have heard of shift left, but I'm seeing more and more companies shift right, that once you deliver the software, it's not over. You're still testing, being proactive once it's in production, which is pretty mind-blowing. So it seems like HP, once again, a lot of people snicker at vendors and consultants and larger companies, but these companies speak with a lot of other companies, a lot of other clients, and they really have, a pulse on what's going on in the industry better than someone that may be working in a small company. So I think it's a great point about shift right. I guess it's my main point there.
Agreed. I mean, and you know, it's the statement has been made before. If you look back, you know, 10 or 15 years ago and you see an IT professional or a consultant who has, you know, went from project to project to project like I have, the idea would be, well, why don't you stay in one place at one company for a long period of time? And the response today, and there's articles I've read about it, is you gain so much more perspective by seeing how different companies operate. And the product managers at HP speak to so many of their solution architects in the field to truly understand how these different organizations are working. And what we can do is, you know, there isn't a one size fits all. Right. So even if something works for an organization over here that might happen to be in the same industry as another one, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to use that exact methodology. They're going to use that exact way of delivering upon things. However, you know, thinking about things from a more of a bird's eye perspective, like we're speaking about right now, and talking about doing a RPALM assessment and shifting left versus shifting right, you know, bringing these topics to the forefront of stakeholders' minds can help them really analyze their functions. And ultimately, if you think about the end goal of what we're trying to do here, we're trying to improve the quality of the software and deliver it faster, but provide value, true value, with clear return on investment to our end users and our business. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're servants to our business. We want the business to succeed. And to do that, we need to do our jobs and do it very well and continue to evolve and, you know, with the times. And the tools are a very important part of that function. But to our discussion earlier, the people and process are equally important, and they need to harmoniously work together in order to achieve the best results. One other thing I did want to mention, though, is around the best practices and maturity models that are part of the RPALM assessment methodology. There are a lot of white papers and a lot of best practices white papers that have been published by HP and Results Positive alike. For the folks that like to read, you know, you can go out there and read them. For the folks that like to listen, you know, obviously, you know, it's your test talks is paramount. It's a perfect forum to kind of hear about what other organizations are doing and what truly best practices are.
Okay, Matt, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve their ALM efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
Sure. So the best piece of actionable advice that I can provide to anybody listening to this podcast is to first and foremost, look at your master test strategy for your QA organization. Okay. So before you even start looking at tools, before you start looking at do you have the right people, before you really start looking at the process, because when you speak about process, there's, I think, a lot of Visio diagrams, and I think a lot of other things are involved in the process. My suggestion really is to ensure that your master test strategy is sound. And if you need help developing a master test strategy, you know, Results Positive has test managers who have done it, who have worked in various industries that can help you develop a sound foundation on that MTS, on that master test strategy, so to speak, to clearly outline the different testing layers that you might want to run your application through, and to help your team understand how to build a process from that master test strategy, or how to adopt a tool from that master test strategy. It might not necessarily need to be ALM or Octane, or you might want to crawl before you walk or before you run, as I mentioned before. And as far as reaching Results Positive, we have a pretty significant web presence out there on our YouTube channel. So you can search YouTube for Results Positive. You'll see a lot of our videos out there. But you can also point your browser to our website at www.resultspositive.com and click on the contact section across the top, and somebody would be happy to get in touch with you. We do also offer, Joe, just to mention, we also offer 2-hour free workshops that we have dubbed innovation workshops. For any organization that is interested, just another shameless plug, we actually have a solution architect paired up with an account manager, and we cover off on all the latest and greatest enhancements across the DevOps space in terms of newer tools on the market and how your organization can adopt these tools to improve upon existing processes. So let us know if you're interested about that. We'd be happy to schedule. We're scheduling out 6 months ahead right now. There's a pretty high interest in this innovation workshop that we have. So we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Matt, for your ALM automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we covered in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/109. And while you're there, make sure to click on the Sign Up Now free button under the exclusive sponsors section to learn all about Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.